The classic Bible battle royale, believing versus doing, on this episode of Inverse. Who is correct in this biblical debate? Is Paul right? Is it all about believing? Or is James right? All about works. Welcome to Inverse. My name is Justin Kim, and you're here in the studio with us with Sebastian and Israel and Kelly. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Aloha. Hi.
Hello to each one of you out there. We want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org and download our Bible study guide. We are studying the letter of James, and we are in episode 5, and we're looking at We're Justified by Works. Read from chapter 2, but Callie, if you can pray for us before we get started.
Absolutely. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help us to see things as they really are. And I pray that we would see even a greater revelation of your love through what we study today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Sebastian, I'm going to go first to you for a question. What are some things that you remember from the last episodes that we have gone through, chapter 1 and chapter 2?
Sure.
James.
So, obviously, starting off with the trials, counting it all joy, right? It's a joy to fall. Getting into temptation and true religion. What is true religion exactly? And one episode I really liked was partiality.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Dealing with those separations, prejudices that can exist even while we claim to be people of faith.
Yeah, and cool things, I mean, not cool things, but those things existed long time ago.
Yes.
They still exist today, and we are in the same conundrum. Time has not, progress has not made that better in,
that's
in
right.
any way, and the Bible still addresses it, still addresses that problem in human nature. Let's go to the Bible verse in chapter 2, verse 14 through 26, and we're just going to read a couple verses there and just go along with in the text. And I like when we study the books of the Bible. Yeah?
Yes. Just,
we're in the Bible, we're in verse, and we talk about it, and we allow the Holy
Spirit
like
to lead us. Character.
I know. There's nothing
verse 14. Verse 14. Sebastian, thanks so much for answering that question. So Israel, can you read for us?
Excellent transition.
Yes. All right, let's read together. Chapter 2, verse 14.
Yep.
What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead.
All right, let's stop there. Verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith? So, right, or verse before that, he's talking about mercy and judgment. So, guys, how that bridge, can we kind of put some plaster there and then sandpaper it and make it smooth? How do we transition from judgment, now we're going into faith, as that works?
Well, the critical piece there is he's transitioning from this transgressing the royal law, right, trusting God, and he's essentially...
The royal being the Ten Commandments. Yes,
the Ten Commandments, and now he's transitioning into this fact of people trying to hold the faith of God with partiality, right? Mm-hmm. So these people who are, as he says in verse 14, my brethren, if someone says he has mm-hmm. faith, mm-hmm. right? So he's not saying someone who actually does have faith. Mm-hmm. He's saying someone who professes to have faith. Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if James senses another argument that's coming, right? Behind the fact that he's made some very strong statements in the previous verses of chapter 2. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you shouldn't be able to hold the faith, you're actually under judgment, and in fact, this is a sin, you're a transgressor. And you know what? Judgment is without mercy to these people. So it's like, wow, okay. And it's like he can sense, nope, someone's gonna be like, yeah, but I still believe. Ah, but someone who says he has faith, mm-hmm. but his actions, like treating people with partiality, may reveal otherwise.
But James is almost kind of going, kind of giving profiles of false religion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One person who says, hey, I'm a Christian, but I only talk to rich people and not to poor people.
Right.
Another kind of Christian who says that I keep all the Ten Commandments, but I'm a racist. And then third one here, I'm a Christian. I pray for you, but I don't do anything to lift a finger for to help anyone whatsoever.
Right.
And these are still manifestations that we see today. Mm-hmm. Right. So Absolutely. We shouldn't, in a sense, we shouldn't be shocked like they're still exist today. It's,
yeah.
it's kind of almost exposing the different types of false Christianity there are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what's the solution to all that in that section? How do we? What is some juice that we can get out to apply for our own lives?
Well, I think, you know, in verse 17, it says, thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. Mm. Is the opposite of death is life, right? So you need to have a faith that is alive and that manifests in the life. Mm-hmm. So throughout this passage, he gives different examples. So like in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Like there's, I'm giving you an example of somebody, he doesn't tell the whole story here, but he's, you know, he's talking to people who know the story. He's like, you know, remember Abraham? Yeah, that's an example. Mm-hmm. But like, why was Abraham doing that? Because God asked him to do something and then Abraham did it. And so there was a manifestation of his faith in his actions. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you want to transition into the faith and works part.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you're transitioning to the next part, so let's read that, and then we'll get there. So, totally. Israel, can you read verse 18 to 24?
But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only.
Read verse 25 also.
Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?
Yeah, verse 26.
For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Okay, so we see that there was Abraham given as an example. We're good. Abraham was given an example, and then Israel read Rahab, and then concluded with 26. I wanted to keep going there. Callie, this classic debate, faith first works.
Yeah, I think this passage means so much to me because this used to be such a source of anxiety for me. Mm. I felt like it was kind of like, yeah, you're saved by faith, but by works. Mm. We mean it, but we whisper it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, but like, yeah, salvation free, but by works. Mm-hmm. And if you're not living up to the standard, then you don't get salvation. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it felt. And it felt like a bait and switch. Like if we get you with grace, but we're like, just kidding, it's with works. Mm-hmm. And that's what this passage sounds like. He's literally saying like justified by works, yes. which is completely contrary to certain things that Paul has said.
Yes.
And so, but I think the important thing here is to remember that James is trying to prove a point, not try to give a holistic view of understanding of this theological reality of faith.
Yeah. Right.
Like faith is talked about in Hebrews 11, it's talked about in Ephesians, like it's talked about everywhere. So we can't be like, this is the totality of faith. He's just trying to correct something that often gets off in faith.
Yeah.
And that is the idea that faith is simply a mental assent to something.
Yeah.
Because, he uses a really brazen example in verse 19. You believe there's one God. Great. So do demons. You did nothing.
Yep.
Like, and tremble.
Yeah. you accomplished nothing by just having this mental assent. But so he's saying like, what really made the difference with Abraham was he acted out his faith. What made the difference with Rahab was she acted out her faith.
Yep.
And so he's saying it's still faith, but faith that does not work, like it's dead. It's not a thing. That's not real. So if you say you have faith, but your life is contrary, it's not because you haven't lived up. It's because you're claiming an inward change that has not taken place.
I appreciate the comment. The context is he's continuing to give profiles of bad Christianity here,
right.
And this is just another form. And in Paul's context is he's giving a systematic presentation on how you are saved.
Yeah.
So the two are seemingly contradictory, but they're not. They're quite complementary.
Yeah, because even Paul would even say, like, Paul even tells people to live a certain way. So it's like you're saying all those letters to all those churches was Paul, like, you could say that's Paul agreeing with James, that you have to act out this faith, you have to act out the salvation that has been given to you as a gift.
To say that Paul and James are at odds with each other is kind of funny, because he's actually quoting Paul himself, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In verse 23, he's quoting from Romans chapter 4, mm-hmm. right? That he was justified by faith, that Abraham was justified by faith.
Which they're quoting from the Genesis together.
Yeah,
same,
so was, yeah, Genesis yeah. and Paul. Well, he's quoting Paul.
Same
he's quoting Paul. He's quoting Paul. So, so I should
uh-huh.
we go there?
Okay.
Yeah. And so the whole
Genesis
point.
Genesis 15. Okay, go ahead. Say your comment.
The whole point is that he's not speaking against faith.
Yeah.
He's actually speaking against faith without works, because faith without works is not faith.
Okay.
So he says in verse 18, you know, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith, not with my works, but by my works. In other words, works are a revelation of faith.
Yeah.
And I like, it's very important to point out, to stress what Callie has pointed out, that he's speaking to a specific group of people who are saying to someone, hey, go in peace. I know you're starving. I know you're homeless. Go in peace. And it's like, I have a house to house you. I have food to give you, but I'm expecting some miraculous thing to take place for you. And God is saying, yeah, the miraculous thing is a change of your heart, you know, like you be the ones that show Christianity. And this is critical, because in our lives, that's the way we live. This is the epitome of hypocrisy, right? Mm. What we do oftentimes is that we expect the change in this world to take place by sources outside of us, right? Oh, if there's injustice in the world, why doesn't, you know, the president do something? Why doesn't the king do something? Why doesn't someone else do something about this thing, mm-hmm. right? We tend to live out this passage in our very own lives, expecting other people to show Christ-likeness so that we can be outside of that. We don't have to. And then James says, no, to do that is not a demonstration of faith. Mm-hmm. It's a demonstration of death, a dead faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really profound, right? What he says in when he says in verse 19, you believe that there is one God and you do well, even the demons believe and tremble, mm-hmm. which tells you that the devil is not an atheist.
He's not.
Right? So the most evil being in the universe is not an atheist, right? And this is not the antithesis to God, right? The antithesis to God is someone who cannot at heart deny God's existence. And yet his very existence is about his desire and obsession to take God's position, right? This is ultimately what he's about. So when he's saying...
Sebastian, hold that thought. We've got to take a break right here. Oh, we want to hear what you have to say. When we come back, we'll hear what Sebastian has to say about the most evil entity in the universe. So stay with us here in Inverse. Welcome back. Sebastian, we're talking about the evil entity.
Yes, the devil.
Yes.
So when you look at this idea of faith without works, you're talking about the devil.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about an entity that cannot intellectually deny at heart the existence of God, that he exists, and that he also has power and authority that should make you tremble, which he does. Mm. But yet the devil does not act out the realities of believing in the existence of God, that there is a supreme being, someone who deserves my worship, adoration, and obedience. And therefore, my resistance to live that out is what makes the devil the devil. Mm-hmm. And so this ultimate extreme to say that I am going to suggest that I can just mentally agree with the fact that, oh yeah, it's true, you should keep the Sabbath. Oh yeah, it's true, you should have no partiality, but yet there's no actual change, means you do not actually believe, mm-hmm. which is putting you on the side of where Lucifer is, mm-hmm. and what led to his fall ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
That's the worst kind of religion, is a religion that claims to believe but doesn't act out on that belief.
Right.
You know, it's actually better to be an atheist.
Right.
You're less demonic when you're an atheist than when you are a person who, like Satan, believes but is unwilling to act upon the belief.
That's right.
That's true.
You know, Kelly brought up a really good point earlier that I want to maybe to spend some time talking about. And she said that, are you saved by faith? Are you saved by works? Are you saved by faith and works? You know, that parenthetical thing.
The footnote.
And I remember I was listening to somebody, I forget where, they did a study, and they asked this question to a lot of young adults. And then there was another option, was, are you saved by faith and works? And that was the
often selected
answer. But we're told in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, you are saved by faith and faith alone, mm-hmm. right? So what is the answer and I know we've been talking around it, yeah. just so for this clarity, yeah. How are we saved? Kelly?
We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. full stop. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the sentence.
But where's the works part? Is there a whispering
yeah,
part afterwards?
There's no whispering.
Okay.
That's it.
So how do we reconcile this part here? I mean, there's all have faith. I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
how do we do that?
So this is again.
That verse always has that voice in
oh,
my
for
mind.
Oh, sure. I think that's that
show
joke
you.
Too.
Okay, yeah.
This is another one of those passages. I think it was in chapter 1 where I talked about how James sometimes gives me anxiety, but then he just says what I need to hear, and it's actually comforting. Hmm. And I think what scares, I can't speak for everyone, but what scares me is this sounds like, oh, so this is another thing I need to live up to. Mm. That's what this says. So I need to go give stuff to other people. I need to not be like demons. I need to be like Abraham and Rahab. Like, that's terrifying. But what he's saying is, so you need to have a faith that's like this, right? And faith comes as a gift from God. But the reason this is scary is because it's impossible in your own strength. It is impossible to have this kind of faith by conjuring it in yourself. Mm-hmm. This should be scary because it's impossible. Mm-hmm. And that's the comforting part that God is not saying, James isn't even saying, yeah, so you need to have this faith. Make sure you go home and study and like meditate or do something that like gets it to you so then you can be this kind of person. Mm-hmm. James is saying you're faking it unless you look like this. Because the only real thing looks like this, but only the real thing comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how one person said that it's faith. We're saved by faith,
yeah.
and faith works.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's
not
of
works
salvation.
as a noun, but works as a verb. And, mm-hmm. and true, awesome, pure, the real faith should yeah. naturally produce all these things. We're basically parsing the same thing, but they're it's the same package. Same mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kelly.
I feel like I might have used this analogy before, but I like it, so I'm gonna use it again.
Okay.
So if we're at least okay, I'll say me. So I'm terrified of snakes. Don't like them. Not a fan. Mm-hmm. And if Justin's like, oh yeah, by the way, Callie, there's a bunch of snakes in the studio right now, and there's actually one right beneath you. I will react.
Hey, Kelly, there's.
Don't do it. I will react. I'll get on this table, and I will push all of you down close to the snakes. That is what I will do. So that is a reaction.
Partiality.
That's not the reaction of faith. Right?
I know.
Focus. Remember, I'm like James. We're focusing on one lesson at a time. One lesson at a time, guys. So, but the purpose, like, what does that mean? Am I trying to prove my fear of snakes? No, I'm afraid of snakes, and I react according to that belief.
It's a natural outcome of your fear.
It's a natural outcome. Okay. So if I've surrendered to God and He has given His supernatural love in my heart, then that pours out to other people. I don't have to be like, oh yeah, I love people. How can I act like I love people today? Mm-hmm. I don't. But like, no, there is love, and there are actions that come out of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not a. Actions aren't an added on. Actions are a result. Mm-hmm. Actions aren't an extra. Actions are just the natural outflow of that. Mm-hmm. But every time we try to add actions, we do run into legalism mm-hmm. because that's not an outpouring of who you are, of who Jesus has made you to be. It's just you trying to prove something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The context of it is verse 14. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that they have faith, right? But does not, but they don't have works. Mm-hmm. Can faith save them? So ultimately, he's speaking to a person that says they have faith, but they don't. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of individual he's trying to address. And so it needs to be addressed within that context.
Yep.
James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 applies to us when we say we have faith, but we don't have works, you know, that follow that. If you look at the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, every time faith is expressed outside like the first three verses, every time faith is expressed, it is expressed as an action, right? By faith, Noah moved, right?
Yeah, a means
so,
to an action.
Yeah,
that's
and
fine.
So the component here is that faith is always founded. It's based on the foundational premise and promise of God that Scripture has. Like this is the basis of our faith. God is love. We believe that God is love. Because God is love and he knows best what is for our good, we will surrender to him. Mm. And then outside of that, everything else follows. But you can't take the remaining, you can't take the secondary actions outside of the primary actions. In other words, I can't say without belief in God, right? Without belief that God loves me and that he loves others, I can't, there's a difference between me handing out food to a homeless person because I want to do it for community service in my resume versus, yeah, or be on the newspaper, versus the fact that I know God loves me and I know that God loves that person, that we're part of the same human family, right? So the critical component to understand to understanding faith is that first, if the foundation is not laid in faith in God's character, in God's love for us, then every action that follows cannot be an action of faith in God, right? It's just an expression of whatever life.
You know, I think that Israel's point in Hebrews 11, and even here as James drives home his point in verse 24, that you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, right? So that word only, right, that he's adding in, he's trying to show the fact that faith is a medium, right? It's a means to an end. And the problem with a person in this passage is they see faith as an end. Well, I believe, and that's it. But in actuality, faith is a means. So we go to Hebrews 11, it says, well, by faith, Abraham offered Isaac, right, on the altar. Faith was how he did it. Abel brought an offering more worthy than Cain's offering. That was the means, was faith. And so in many ways, right, when we deal with the faith and works issue, it's because we're missing the fact that faith is a means to something which ends in the devil, because there's the works are hindered. Mm-hmm. So even though I believe that God exists, even though I tremble at his power and his authority, I will not allow that to compel me to bow down and worship him. I will not allow that to compel me to obey him in his word. And this is the same thing that James, you know, going back to Israel's point, is the person he's trying to address, is you are putting faith as an end, which is like taking the road that's supposed to lead you to the destination, and it's blocking these works to come out as they would naturally, mm-hmm. if you would just surrender to the reality of what you claim to believe. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the issue is that we're blocking them because of some other interest or some other problem or outcome that we feel is not advantageous to something that we want, right? And that's why we're not allowing those works to be manifest, because like, well, if I actually obey and keeping the Sabbath, I might lose my job. So now my faith will not have works.
Yeah. It's not working.
And I'm going to hinder it, even though I believe the Sabbath is a 7 day. But yeah, that's not keeping the Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
And it, again, it's not that keeping the Sabbath is saving me. It's the faith that's saving me. And as you said, that faith will eventually manifest itself.
Hey, two questions that pop up while you guys are talking that popped in my mind. One is faith really even faith if it doesn't work?
No. Absolutely not.
So then why are we spending time talking about faith that doesn't work? That's not even faith to begin. It's dead faith.
It's presumption.
Dead faith is just, yeah, it's nothing, right? It's presumption, right?
Yeah. Yes. I think that's his point.
Okay. But then, okay, so then you go to the other side. Can you just have works by themselves?
Yes.
Of course.
And tell me about that. What is that? And why is that a thing? why is that so much easier than faith, which works? Why can't we just,
the ultimate work of faith,
yes,
is to eliminate selfishness.
Okay.
That's the ultimate work of faith.
Okay.
Because it makes us like God. God is selfless.
Okay.
Right? To eliminate selfishness. So that's why faith is a critical component, because you can do the same exact thing for selfish motivations or for unselfish motivations. And
so the externality may be the same, but the work that happens inside the heart is totally different.
Yeah.
Opposite ends.
Right.
Which makes it not a work, right? As James is talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's just
not the works
it.
Of righteousness.
Correct.
Yeah. The works of the flesh.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
We talked about it in the covenants. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's good.
And so ultimately, like what Sebastian was saying earlier on, you know, when a person does not have faith, they will trip over themselves, right? To make up a religion,
yep,
right? A false religion, because that is the naturally selfish thing to do.
Yeah.
And so the whole point of faith is, let's eliminate selfishness. Once you have faith and it eliminates selfishness, yeah, in your life, it's going to naturally good. Flow, like Kelly good. Was saying.
Oh man, that was clarifying. That's clarifying for me,
yeah,
Kelly.
Yeah. I think, you know, your question of like, why is works a thing? Like, why are we so drawn to it? I think we're crushed by it because it's impossible. Mm-hmm. And we try it, we're just like, this is too heavy. Like, I can't do it. But there's, at the beginning, it seems kind of nice because you can see it. Mm-hmm. You can grade yourself.
Right.
You can give yourself little stars of accomplishment.
It seems doable.
Yeah, it seems doable.
It's a fulfillment of self.
Yeah, you can see it. So you're like, yeah, I mean, I was nice. I objectively was nice. I objectively gave that to that person. I objectively, you know, whatever. And so it's a way to gauge yourself and to move your self-esteem up and down versus if everything is through faith, well, I don't really get credit for that because it's from Jesus.
Yeah. Hopefully this episode has made a lot of sense to you. And it's been very clarifying for me. The point is we need to have works. We need to have obedience. There needs to be an external manifestation. But that can only be done by true, true faith. True faith works. And there you've heard it. The battle royale has been finished. The winner is faith. But true faith works. That's my prayer. Pray for all of you guys to have this true faith. Hopefully that's for all of you guys. We want to encourage you to keep studying with us. We want to binge watch all the previous episodes on the book of James and then catch up to where we are. We are in chapter 3, and next episode we're going to continue our study on faith versus works. God bless you. Thank you. See you next week.